Senate Concurrent Resolution 49.
A new one?
Yeah.
Changing the name of A Street to I.
I want to hear from the senators from Anchorage, if you're right, on that record.
I want to change B Street to Egan Street.
It's fine, Bill.
First order of business is Senate Bill 246, revising corporations code.
Mr. Chairman? I can perhaps give some background on this. There, in your folders, you should have a commentary from the Alaska Code Revision Commission on Senate Bill 246. Well, House and Senate Joint Journal Supplement Number 11. And there should be, I have a, I have a section-by-section comparison of this bill with the, which is called the Proposed Alaska Corporations Code with the Revised Model Business Corporations Act, exposure draft, March 1983, which was adopted by the American Bar Foundation, or promulgated by the American Bar Foundation. This?
You've gone through it line by line.
Yes, but it's...
Senator Rhodey?
Yes?
Are you one of the proponents of this measure?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to come up and sit down at the table and identify yourself and be prepared to give whatever testimony is required?
Mr. Chairman, may it please the Chair, my name is Patrick Rhodey. I'm a member of the Senate. I represent Anchorage. I am also a member of the Code Revision Commission. The Senate's designee on that commission.
Senator Joseph, sitting out of the way, I have sworn the
rule. I was just going to say, then there was a subcommittee hearing in Anchorage on April 28th, and the transcript of that is also in there. Just as a preface before Senator Rhodey speaks, I would just say that the Bar Association, as such, has not taken any stand. There are apparently two groups of lawyers who deal in commercial and corporate practice, and one group, which includes members of the Code Revision Commission, Mr. Kurtz, John Abbott, and some others, very much supports Senate Bill 246. Another group, which consists of Stanley Reitman, Ken Eggers, and John Norman and others, urges the rejection of the bill. Those lawyers appear to favor this exposure draft, which has not been adopted in any state yet, but was promulgated in 83 by the Committee on Corporate Law of the American Bar Association. The policy differences, most of the policy differences that we've heard discussion of had to do with Section 48 of the draft bill, which provides some change from tradition in connection with individual liability directors and officers. This is without precedent in corporate law and imposes personal joint and several liability upon the 10 largest shareholders of a non-publicly traded corporation for all debts, wages, or salaries due and owing to any corporation's laborers and employees. This is basically on trade accounts and not to the whole world, but just this class of creditors. I could explain the reasons for that, maybe somebody wrote it. This is a highly controversial section. Assuming, without deciding, that the committee wants to do anything, one option it would have would be to take 246 and enact it without that section and have policy issues on that section stand on their feet. I'll stop now.
Well, within a broad analysis, I understand that it sets minimum requirements that must be met for the privilege of doing business in a corporation form.
Yes.
And within the limits, it leaves to incorporators how to divide powers between shareholders and directors. Standardizes reporting required to shareholders in the state. Seeks to clearly define in what circumstances it is permissible to pay a dividend. While maintaining the right of shareholders to sue corporate officers and directors in appropriate circumstances, it seeks to control the misuse of these, quote, derivative suits.
Yeah.
Have I hit any sore spots here?
No, I think that we adopted the Model Corporation Act, I think, in the early 60s, and that act has been upgraded in other states more than it has.
What parts, Senator, do you think that it is a controversial section?
Oh.
Several of them?
Yeah, I think 488 is the most controversial section.
Without requiring me to look that up. What is 488?
Okay. 488 is the section which breaks down the traditional immunity of people who use the corporate form and who are directors and officers from personal liability. The author of the draft finds that there's a social problem in that unsecured creditors are precluded from piercing the corporate veil and obtaining recompense.
Secondary liability of directors and officers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I might explain briefly the reason that's there. There is, by unanimous agreement among members of the bar and tradesmen and tradeswomen, an abuse that takes place. People form corporations, obtain goods, and then can walk away from that corporation. There is a limited liability of up to $20,000 for a person who has a corporation. Say they have a restaurant, they make an arrangement with a fisherman to get fish. They make an arrangement with a wine merchant to obtain wine for their restaurant. They decide not to pay him, and they walk away from the corporation and decide to close a restaurant. That fisherman, that wine merchant, neither have anything that they can go after other than the corporation, even though they're relying upon the individual who is running the restaurant. The abuse that this occasions happens on a regular basis in Alaska. It's been referred to as a license to steal, essentially, because with the corporate form, you're essentially protected from any individual liability. That's why it was put in there. It is a limited liability. That is, the limitation is $20,000. It's not unlimited against one's personal assets, but it's a policy, one that ought to be voted upon by this committee.
It says the directors and the president, secretary, and treasurer, or individuals performing these functions, are, to the extent that the assets of the corporate entity prove insufficient, jointly and severably liable for contract indebtedness.
Yeah. Yes. And there's opposition to that. For example, in the testimony we got from Mr. Reitman, he says that there are statutes that deal with fraud, and people who deal with corporations know that that's the form that they're dealing with, and that this, the idea of this was to encourage capital formation and encourage people to be directors and officers. This provision will undercut those public policies, so there is a policy choice to be made here.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's the best answer. It is a question of policy. It ought to be decided in this committee, or perhaps this committee would wish to forward that to the floor for a general policy statement by the legislature as to whether they think there ought to be absolute immunity or whether there ought to be some exceptions to that immunity. It is. It's an issue that should be debated and then decided by the local
government. If the stockholders, by a vote, initiate a policy plan that the directors are supposed to follow, and then the directors do it and they lose money, why should then the directors be responsible if they follow the directives of the shareholders?
I don't think under the language they would be responsible.
Why not?
Essentially, perhaps Senator Joseph will care to recite the background material and all the statutes, since I think he's the last person to spend a lot of time.
Suppose that we have on the annual meeting, and they send you the letter, and they have three or four proposals, for, against, and it's proxy form, and you go ahead and you outline by proxy what you want to do. And the majority of those that come in say, are for one avenue of operation. And that avenue, by responding to what the shareholders have directed through their caucus vote, provides a bad policy, and as such, it costs the corporation to lose $50,000 over and above their assets. Then, according to this bill, the stockholders and directors, the directors and the officers are responsible, and the shareholders are not.
I don't think that would be good. Senator Joseph, would you agree that?
Well, it is a secondary liability. You have to exhaust your remedies against the corporation first. If you do that and you're still unsatisfied, you would have a claim against the corporate officers and directors up to $25,000. Beyond that, and of course, that figure could be adjusted up or down by the legislature. There is an argument that we have precedent for that in some cases. Well, in some situations, we pierce the corporate veil and make people, officers and directors, directly liable on workers' compensation claims, as where there is no workers' compensation insurance. But on the other hand, it is a departure from certainly from the traditional concept of limited liability for people who use the corporate form.
Again, Mr. Chairman, it's a policy question that this committee should deal with, that the body as a whole should deal with. Arguments can be made on either side. The record is replete with instances where many Alaskan businessmen and businesswomen have been cheated under the present scheme of things. And it's a policy decision whether there ought to be absolute immunity or whether there ought to be just limited immunity.
This is designed more or less for small corporate entities that are taking advantage of the tax structure and the IRS, which makes it more liberal tax structure for corporations and less for limited partners or partnerships. Or
in part, we have a great many corporations in Alaska.
Well, that's what I mean for small ones. Is what I'm getting at, Senator. Because a multi-million-dollar outfit to $25,000, I imagine they'd have corporate insurance to take care of it if that was required. So this is more or less after some guy that might be mom and pop operation, and they go into a corporate form because of the liberality of the IRS and such. That really only a couple of people operate in the business, although it's a corporation.
I guess the other thing that came up in the hearing is that if you go to borrow money at your bank in the corporate form, usually the bank will take an individual, require an individual guarantee or otherwise make sure that you personally are liable as well as your company. But the theory is that there are certain types of tradespeople who are not in a bargaining position where they can do that or don't think about it because they're not sophisticated enough.
A lot of banks take out a life insurance policy on you.
Yeah. And shoot you.
It would require that you take it out that them as a beneficiary.
Mr. Chairman, that's one part of the Corporations Act. Again, it's one part that I'm not going to urge the committee to make one decision or another on that, other than I think considering the corporation code as a whole is important because the existing one we have now is a mishmash of various provisions of law that don't allow anybody in the state, including lawyers, to tell you with certainty what the state of the law is. And there are some people who may benefit by that, but the general public doesn't for sure. The bill has had work since 1979 by Professor Fessler, who is one of the recognized experts. The objections that have been raised to it by members of the bar that I respect are relatively recent. People who knew about the work on the code, they have been sent notifications, and until a few months ago raised no objections. The weighty tone that Senator Josephson has here from the that has been proposed has been adopted by no one and has been, to my knowledge, not studied in the state of Alaska at all. The bill you have before you that was drafted by Professor Fessler is regarded by those both proponents and opponents as a middle-of-the-road bill, that is, between the rights of the stockholders and the rights of the corporation vis-a-vis the business.
Well, the next section goes into an indemnification of the officers, and that has a way by authority to indemnify them against the $25,000 liability. So, basically, all you're doing is guaranteeing a possible creditor assets up to $25,000 over and above that provided by the corporate entity itself.
That is correct.
And that's just like it. Am I wrong, or is it just designed for small operations?
It is designed for small operations. The problem in Alaska is anybody with a proper filing fee can file a corporation, then go to many small tradesmen around Juneau or any other city in Alaska and obtain credit. The fact of the matter is, because people that operate many small businesses aren't lawyers, they give more credence to someone who is a corporation and do extend credit to them, and in a number of cases, it's an unwise decision, and they're not paid for the goods that are taken on credit. We have a number of people who incorporate, use the corporation for whatever purpose, just walk away. Again, the records are replete at the Division of Banking and Securities Corporation.
Senator Johnson, you want to continue?
No, I mean, the way that I left this was, very frankly, with Professor Fessler, was that if it seemed to me that if we were going to put out something, we would want to put out the best features of this bill and the bill that's on your calendar, Mr. Chairman. And he agreed that there were provisions in the revised Model Business Corporation Act that would probably be an improvement on even the bill that he prepared under contract with the Code Revision Commission. I don't think I have from him yet, although I asked for it, his analysis of the Model Act, the Model Bill, and the places where he would make changes in 246. That's kind of where the thing was left. The other thing I said was that we would probably, for my part, at least want to know what the House was going to do with this at this stage of the session before we moved because of the controversial part of this bill. And I haven't been reading what the House thinks about it, whether the House would move on it or not, if we did.
Well, I don't think that's a question that should concern us with what the House does.
Well, it has to do with the stage of the session that we're at.
And what is your recommendation?
Frankly, my recommendation is that we not do anything with this and work on it over the interim and see if we can come up in January with a bill that all the segments can agree with and which incorporates the best of both bills. That's what I think.
Senator Fagan.
Oh, I suppose realistically that's probably the best thing. I would be interested to see what the American Bar Association does with this exposure draft. They are going to adopt it. If they are going to adopt it, then it becomes sort of a standard, which other states are going to adopt. I think there's a certain value in having uniformity among various states on this kind of thing.
Mr. Chairman, we started in the 50s, if I might say, at this point.
Sure.
With a model act that we thought was going to be adopted around the states, and then over time, that we have not kept up with all of the. All of the recommended amendments, and there definitely are some holes in what we've got to work with. The proponents of 246 say that this bill does take into account what's going on in other states, and that almost all the provisions come from some other jurisdiction. So they didn't sit down and just create from nothing. They used references to other statutes. But it's a sort of eclectic thing that's picked and chosen from different jurisdictions. Hopefully, that's the best of what they're doing outside. It also includes a lot of provisions that are consistent with
that.
Well, if the consensus is going to be that because of the time of this and the shortness of the session, there's no way it's ever going to get to the House anyhow. I would suggest to the chairman that this is sort of a parting shot. Your staff to send out copies of everything we have to each local bar association and saying you want your input and your comments no later than arbitrarily December 1st of this year.
Let's
have it here.
That's a very good suggestion.
Senator Ryerson.
Excuse me, that, as I understand, I've been some response to my office in regards to a particular bill, and as I recall, there was.
We have some more for you, Senator Rudy.
There's going to be some interfering cell on this subject.
You have a question for the
officer? You say, Dick.
We have this bill in Labor Commerce, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding was that there was some problems with it. There was going to be some hearings held during the interim. They come up with something that. And that's what I've been. The communications I've been answering relative to this, there is some concern out there to this particular bill. And I said, you're going to have a chance to have public input sometime this summer on this bill. And I said, now if it passed out now, I don't know. I'll have to go back through the files and tell them, you know, that they better do something now if they're going to have some input into the bill. But that was the understanding I thought we had.
Where's the pressure coming from, Mr. Chairman, if I may ask?
Senator O'Neill.
There is no pressure. The members of the commission have worked on the bill, and would like to see it considered. If that's not the wisdom of the committee, that's fine. The bill has been worked on since 1979. I might add that every member, every bar association has been mailed a copy for several years. Those people who objected to the bill have known about it for years and chose only to object within the past few months, which of course would cause a reasonable man to conclude that perhaps their objections were tactical rather than substantive. I did read one member's comments. The comments were not worthy of a member of the bar in terms of substance. The code commission is uncertain in terms of its funding. I don't know where that leaves us in terms of doing work. If that's really the intent, the commission, and I can't speak for it. I can only say that the commission will do the work within the limits of the money that is available to it. But the house has not funded the commission at all. Member Sackett has been very gracious and supportive. However, the outcome is uncertain at this point, and therefore, and I can understand the committee's desire to put it off. It certainly does appear from the committee's point of view that there is less than unanimity, and there probably always will be. Quite frankly, the corporate statutes of the state of Alaska are a mess. They have been a mess for a long time, and nobody can tell you what they are. If you allow the lawyers to continue to squabble about this, we would probably never have a corporate structure that is worthy of the name. On the other hand, it is late in the session, and I just hope that perhaps the 14th legislature can do something with this, and it is not the fault of the committee, it is perhaps the fault of the quarreling members of the bar, as well as some personality problems within the House of Representatives that have allowed things to stay where they are.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Senator Lee, and your assistance is appreciated. Thank you.
Do you do much corporate work?
Not anymore. I used to do a fair amount of it.
You do?
No, a little, but not much. I had the last issue was our litigation. They really stopped over some parts. True, but we don't have any adequate statutes.
I'm just kidding about it.
Take over probably
how do you feel about this
network? Trying to get organizations. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I don't think we should do that. I mean, I got into it. I have a copy of that. And emotions are high and simple on both sides.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Copy left.
Sure. I don't like the
sort of
language problem, but
then
you wouldn't cry
and
catch it
anywhere. Next, we have Senate Bill 399, which is, I have some communications from the prime sponsor asking that this bill be considered in the journal.
Which one?
399. So we will not consider that bill. We have House Bill 510. Were you the one that was handling this, Senator Joseph? What did you, Senator Pedigano?
I don't remember.
This is the one about the accidents about the state of municipal aircraft.
Ray.
It sounds to me it was Ray.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the two of you were in committee were talking about it, and I think it was proposed for a Senate committee substitute.
I think it's Senator Ziegler.
No, it was you. You were talking about taxing. Remember?
No, I don't remember talking about taxing.
Well, who was it that was talking about
Guy
taxing?
Guy Van Dorn.
Guy Van Dorn was
talking about taxing. I'm sorry. You guys look at so much alike today.
Yeah.
Thank
you. One's a little braver than the other.
Did you have a copy of the proposed committee substitute? This seems to take care of a problem or two. So we could probably move this bill out of line, so.
The sponsor approves this version.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
The chair will entertain a motion.
I move to Senate CS for CS for House Bill 510 Judiciary with individual recommendations.
Is there an objection?
No.
How many do pass? No rec. No rec, you want.
May it ever be less if you issue on the book, right?
It ain't broke yet, so I fix it.
No way.
Are you going to be working on it?
is a Senate Confer Resolution number 49 assigned to this committee. It has to do with a change of title of a House Bill number 399. Original House Bill has a title of an act naming A and C streets in Anchorage, Wickersham Boulevard, and Eisenhower Boulevard. The committee substitutes as an act naming A Street in Anchorage, Eisenhower Boulevard, and designating the Eisenhower Corridor. I would bow to the wisdom of the two Anchorage.
Right. I have no objection to honoring our one of our greatest presidents.
You mean Wickersham?
He was a jet. No.
Truman Street.
Well, I think history's been kind of...
Talking about Judge Wickersham now?
President Eisenhower was a truly great American, and I think this is appropriate.
Eisenhower Boulevard and Corridor, in Anchorage from its northern end to the 36th Avenue intersection, A Street is named Eisenhower Boulevard, and the systems of parks, trails, and buffering areas between and along Eisenhower Boulevard and C Street is named the Eisenhower Corridor. System of parks, trails, and buffering areas.
Well, I think it's a great idea.
Such a time no people heard about this.
Pardon?
Is that a state highway?
Buffering areas.
Oh, I don't know. All right. Hmm? Is that a state highway? Is that a state highway?
I don't know.
Must be.
I think it is.
That would be if we're going to name it.
Yeah. The man that signed the proclamation of Alaska stated, I think, deserves some kind of recognition.
Has Mayor Knoll signed off on it? I don't know. This has not been, I mean, I know that there's been, this idea has been advanced before. Actually, Eisenhower was pushed into it by Fred Seaton.
Well, all we're required to do, gentlemen, is to approve or ask for the change in the title.
It seems a reasonable request.
Then we can fight the good battle on the floor. If you have no objection to changing the title, that's all we're asked to do is change the title.
What's the consensus of the Anchorage caucus on this matter?
Maybe we name it Atwood Boulevard. I haven't heard anything from the municipality. I have a little reluctance because you find your way around, you go from letters from A to P, and if we start doing this, we're going to wind up like the culture.
The chairman may I direct a question to one of my...
Well, why don't you do that?
Is it contemplated there being any more Anchorage caucuses between now and the time we adjourn, whatever that may be?
Yes.
Well, would it not be appropriate, and this sounds tongue-in-cheek, but it's really not, but would it be appropriate to get some sentiment back from the Anchorage caucus as to whether or not they want this thing?
How about an Anchorage Senate caucus?
On a title change or on the bill?
Either or both. I'm not trying to, really, if the people in Anchorage want to change, then they
all right. Fine.
We'll caucus tomorrow. And take it.
Okay.
And I got to check the thought out of this.
No, I just came here. I'm going to just change the title. Oh.
Here.
Okay, next we have a sponsor substitute for House Bill 560. Again, I talked to the sponsor, and I have not been able to raise Snowden. I'll have to talk back to Snowden.
I know what he said, but I can't tell you.
What did he say?
He said 25, which is acceptable for the court system.
That what he said?
That's exactly what he
told me. Not that I'm doubting it.
No, he didn't.
I understand.
That's what he said to me.
So told me the same thing.
$50,000 makes it into a motion.
Right. In other words, you go through all the same rigmarole while you're doing the bigger question. They said 25, they can live with in the air. No objection.
I'm waiting for an amendment.
I have a question to
realize. Yeah.
While the attorney is present, could this be a proper vehicle except to increase the limits on small claims court cases?
Well, it'd be improper.
Could it put it in this here particular bill? I think there's.
Taking any bill out of any other buddy's committee?
Yeah.
It's
going to finance the same. They had the bill up there.
We did that in the Senate.
Let them do that in finance.
Get a bill.
I think we'll do it in finance.
Special bill. I think we'll have to ask for ramifications.
We don't figure it
out. Chairman, I would move that the on lines 15 and 20 of page 1 and on lines 5, no. 8, and 1 on no, page 2.
No, 15 and 18, right?
15 and 18. Didn't I say 18?
You said 20.
Oh, 15, 18, and 20. 15, 18, and 20 at page 1. And 3, 5, 8, page 2. We substitute 25,000 for 50,000.
There's an objection to the amendment.
No objection.
Committee substitute. Is there an objection to that? How many do pass? No right. Do not pass. Hold over.
No comment.
Adjourn?
Do you feel like voting on this?
I'll sign a report. But,
that's what you say. What is it? It makes a difference how I write it up is all I have. Senate Bill 449, which is going to be taken up on Monday, will not be taken up. We received communication from the prime sponsor that they are not interested in this bill. They can't get to the proper terminology now. Do you remember that one? That's Senator Farrington's son.
I just brought the mail on it. Have mixed vibes about that.
As a corporation code, I'm wondering if maybe another thing we could do is we could have a resolution which calls for study of the Code Revision Commission bill, the Bar Association, National Bar Association draft, and comments, you know, as an interim for the interim. Would that be helpful?
Wouldn't that be inappropriate? Shouldn't it?
Why don't you put that in written form and submit it to the chairman?
I'll make it concurrent so you won't have to move around.
Bring it up in front of the committee.
Or even simple stuff, so we know we don't have any problems.
Okay.
So if you've been going through your list here again, gentlemen.
Advisory group?
Give it to the chairman. If he thinks it's up there, he might even get somebody to do it for you.
We didn't change the National Streets at all, yeah?
I guess that didn't do it. $50,000 contract.
There you go. Okay, Leslie's got a question.
This thing? Not too shabby.
Yeah.
So if you take most of the four, 52, yes, I mean, 552. Relating to the scope.
No, I haven't. I haven't. Oh, really? Look at it.
This was 1.6 for just Juneau and Anchorage, and that's 8 more communities that want to jump on this. I'm a little nervous about it.
There is a way, no, that ain't true. What is the wording on this? Alternative housing, Juneau?
Juneau, municipal grant alternative housing. And he said all you'd have to do is get a municipal ordinance.
I'm in business.
For my Senator Ray.
That was a graceful day, both times I got up, I tripped on that.
For my Senator Ray, to get a hold of the city manager.
I was there too, but I can't get my foot over.
Yeah.
Oh, give me.
We could maybe lower them a bit.
Recess it into the floor.
Route some balls.
This is nuts today. Now what else did he do? Please discuss that SJR.
Senator dropped us.
Okay, that was just.
Okay, thanks, bye. Okay, what do we take with us?
Okay, we have to order a final on this.
We don't take this one.
Finance?
Yeah. We don't take anything except.
Except we take.
There's a snake up there. There's a snake in the floor.
Okay. We discussed that SCR 39.
Forty-nine.
What it does, you know. I said, you want to go down and get it to you tonight?
Steve, the Jackal.
Okay.
I like your perfume today. It smells very nice.
What perfume is that?
I'm not wearing it.